Blog Talk Radio.
The PW Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio, information, and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Once again, that is audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch.
Actually, you're full of something else. You are a sniveling little suck-up sellout full of suffering suck-a-cash, son! Yeah, I know, that was not easy to say!
106 miles to Chicago, we got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it!
It's a sparkle cave.
You people, today, Wednesday, October the 7th, 2015, I am your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast. Your Wednesday intro song is Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. They're the official artist of the PW Torch Livecast, available on iTunes. They sound like this. We're coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you might learn something before we're done. We're taking your calls, 646-721-9828. Here on Blog Talk Radio, we're taking your emails, pwtorchlive@gmail.com. The chat room is going to be open in 3, 2, 1. There we go. I almost forgot to open the chat room. And, of course, you can send Twitter questions into us at RealPatMcNeil. But now, without any further ado.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, one half of the Pro Wrestling NOAH Tag Team Champions of the World, Mr. Lance Archer. Hold on, there we go, Lance. Come on. It's going to be that kind of day. How you doing, Lance?
Good, man. Thanks for the introduction.
Hey, no problem. It's good to have you back here. You are stateside for a little bit of time here?
I'm at home. I'm in Texas enjoying the weather. It's been a little cooler. Actually, it warmed up today, but it's been nice and cool and pretty.
Yeah, well, we've actually had, I'm in South Carolina. We've actually had a couple days in a row of good weather, so we're very excited about that. All right, so now, in addition to your work with Pro Wrestling NOAH, I know you've got some stuff coming up here.
Right.
Next month, I know that you're in Philadelphia for House of Hardcore, where you'll be fighting Chris Hero on November the 13th. That's kind of a big deal, I think. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for telling me. I didn't know that.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, that's who they have you down as.
Oh, cool. I know it was Chris and I. It'll be a rematch because he and I have the Global Leagues coming up here for NOAH. I leave here next Wednesday for that, in fact. And I think our match is on the 25th of October for the NOAH's Global League.
Okay. Now, let me pull some stuff on that. Yeah. So, Global League Tournament, explain a little bit of how that works.
Okay, basically, like most of the fans are really familiar these days with New Japan's G1. It's their singles tournament that they do every year. Global League, it's essentially the same thing. It's a singles tournament. It's a heavyweight singles tournament broken down into two blocks, A block and B block. It consists of a lot of the Suzuki Goon guys, I think five of us, in fact, Minoru Suzuki, Izuka, Shelton Benjamin, Smith, and myself. Then a lot of the regular NOAH guys, and then some guys they're being brought in, including Colt Cabana, Chris Hero, Tanaka. I can't remember if there was anybody else that was kind of outside of the NOAH range that they're bringing in for the tournament.
The hired guns,
Yep, they're
so
bringing in, it should be probably one of NOAH's biggest global leagues in many years, and it should be a lot of fun, very exciting for the fans in Japan.
And I imagine the winner of that's going to get a shot at Minoru Suzuki, who's the current GHG champion?
I think that's the way it works, unless, of course, Suzuki wins it himself.
Well, that would put a sort of a damper on that, yeah. But,
Okay. Then he could just continue to claim the stake of holding Noah hostage as we've done for the last year.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you guys are fighting for freedom. You're freedom fighters, yes.
Well, I guess we're not really freedom fighters. We're the one controlling people. They're fighting for their freedom, not us.
Oh well. Okay, that works. That's probably actually the better position to be in these days. So you've got
control Noah.
Okay. I can handle that. We've also seen, it's been a while, but we've seen you guys. We saw you guys at the Dome Show in January for New Japan, and obviously some sort of a Ring of Japan. So to Japan, and then might be seeing more of you guys back stateside for Ring of Honor or whoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a lot of great things, including, like you said, New Japan. Like I said, our last thing with New Japan was back at the Dome. We chose to invade NOAH. We've been there and, running stuff for the last year. We've won every tag match or every tag title match when it matters. Killer Elite Squad continuing its dominance in the tag team division. We've done some stuff with Ring of Honor. Most recently had War Machine came over and put up a hell of a fight in NOAH, but ultimately when they had that tag title match, we stepped up and did what we had to do, and we continue to be the Pro Wrestling NOAH GHC Tag Team Champions of the World.
So you guys, with arrangements with New Japan, with Ring of Honor, you guys can pretty much go wherever you need to be.
Smith and I actually have a NWA tag title match this coming Saturday at Mid-South in Dyersburg, Tennessee on Saturday. It's a triple threat tag match. But we don't expect anything different as far as the outcome's concerned. We've been tag champs for the NWA for almost a year now, in fact. So, we're just going to go in there and continue to do what we do and kill everybody.
That's hence the name, the Killer Elite Squad.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's see. Obviously, we're going to have some guys here wanting to talk current events. We have some fans of yours wanting to talk about Pro Wrestling you and Pro Wrestling NOAH and your thoughts. 646-721-9828. You think you're up for taking calls?
Sure, why not? Let's do it.
Okay, once again, for the Wednesday show, you can ask up to 3 questions. You can make up to 3 comments. You can do some short combination of the two, but 3 is the magic number here. So let's go ahead, and we're going to go to the telephones, kicking things off in the 862 area code. 862, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Lance Archer.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
How you doing, Kylan?
What's up, man?
I'm very well, Pat. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing fine. You didn't ask Lance how he's doing.
I'm going to get to that.
Okay. Lance, how are you doing?
I'm killer.
He's killer.
Good for you, Lance.
Thanks, man.
Whenever you're ready, Kylan, jump right in.
My first question for you, Lance, is would you consider going back to WWE developmental now that it has been rebranded into a much bigger force than it was when you were there previously as NXT?
Right. Here's the thing. You never say never in the business of professional wrestling. So I can't say no, I would never do it. I don't think I would ever go back into a full developmental system. I think I'm beyond past that. I think where I've gotten in my career, the confidence that I've gained in Japan, the knowledge that I've gained over the years that I've been in the business from my time even there with that company, going into a full developmental system is not something I would need to do. Now, being a part of the NXT product, if and when that situation came about, that's fine. I'd be proud to. There's friends of mine there that are doing great things and being very successful, and NXT itself has done an amazing job of branding itself as its own element, as its own force in the professional wrestling business. So to be a part of it would be fine, just not in a full developmental practice.
Yeah, if you don't,
I'm not going to go to.
No, if you don't mind me jumping in here, Kylan, I've written about this in the newsletter. I have a hard time buying NXT as a developmental territory when you have Finn Balor and Samoa Joe and Apollo Crews, and basically guys who can, you know, who can headline most anywhere in the world. I mean, I think that there's some, there's developmental going on in Orlando. It's just not the stuff we're seeing when we're watching NXT every week.
Right.
Okay, I can see why you've made that point.
Go ahead.
My second question for you, Lance. What are your memories of working with the late, great American Dream, Dusty Rhodes?
That's a great question, man. Actually, you know, he was extremely influential in my career. From my time at TNA, he was there. He was the creative director at TNA at a different time. Basically took me from being Dallas into Lance Hoyt when I had the whole Hoytomania thing going on. Was tremendously helpful in that time, helped me get my job with WWE back in the day. You know, one of the greatest promo guys in the world to ever exist. So he helped me each and every week when I cut a promo, talked and learned how to speak and say the right things and go in a direction that fit me best and most comfortably. So when he passed away, you know, it was a true detriment, I think, to so many people in the business, including myself, because he did have such a personal hand in what I did growing through the business, like I said, from TNA into WWE and beyond it. You know, there were times when I got to speak with him past my time with WWE, and he was there and helpful and influential at that time, too, including, you know, his son, Dustin, you know, Goldust. He was nothing but helpful, even from TNA on into WWE. So that family has meant a lot to me. And the fact that they've helped me so much has been nothing but great memories for me as far as considering Dusty and his family.
Okay. Colin?
Final question for you.
All right.
Since New Japan has now broken into or further broken into the United States marketplace with their deal on Access TV, do you foresee Noah being able to do the same? And if so, how do you perceive Noah being treated by American fans?
You know, I think Noah has a long way to go. What we've been doing in Japan with Noah has helped their business grow tremendously from where it was to where it is. It is a slow process. They're still in the process of getting back on a full-time television market in Japan. To say that they would branch into the American market right now, unless it was directly spearheaded by New Japan itself, I think is very unlikely. How I think they would be received if they came over, I think it'd be extremely well, because I think there is a history of Noah as a company in a large way, and a lot of people's memories of Noah when it was in its heyday and doing really big things still exist. Some of the guys that were there at that time are still there, from your Marafujis to your Yones and guys like that. So I think it would be well received in the States, but I think people understanding who was coming in and what they were doing would be a lot less in comparison to New Japan, because like you brought up, New Japan having its own show on Access TV, you know, people are watching that. You know, I've discussed with people most recently, and they discovered I was a wrestler, and they discovered I worked with New Japan. They're like, oh yeah, that's on that Access TV on Friday nights, you know. So the fact that they're seeing it is opening their minds to New Japan and the talent that is there, and then also New Japan's working with Ring of Honor and their guys being on their television product and being brought over. I mean, the reception that I saw personally with the guys that were on the Field of Honor show in Brooklyn was amazing, to watch Okada and Shinsuke and those guys go out there and perform in the United States of America and get as big or more of a reaction sometimes from the American fans who don't hardly ever get to see them except for when they're on the New Japan, or excuse me, the Ring of Honor product or Access TV. So they're influence has reached deeply into the U.S. market in comparison to what Noah has been able to do. So I think Noah has a long road to go. It could happen in the future, but as of right now, I don't think it's something that you're going to see anytime soon.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, thank you for calling this week, Kylan.
You're very welcome, Pat. Thank you, Lance.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Kylan drops off. That opens up a line for you. 646-721-9828. Of course, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is another way you can reach us. And the chat room is open at pwtorchlivecast.com as well. Looking through the NOAA lineups for actually not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that on the 16th, NOAA and Corican Hall in Tokyo, the Killer Elite Squad and Azuka teaming up against Yone, Taniguchi, and Nakajima. The 17th in Tokyo, it's Lance Archer versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. Yeah, if you're a fan, you might want to get to see that. And on the 18th,
I was going to say that's a rematch from our G1 battle a couple years ago.
And on the 18th in Isanuma, I believe it is you against Quiet Storm, who I remember from I think from TNA back in the day.
Early Ring of Honor stuff in TNA.
So this is not an you didn't draw an easy block here, I would say.
No, I think we had probably the toughest block, considering you got Matafuji, you got Tanaka, you got Sugita, you got us. There's Chris Hero. There's a lot of good guys in one block. So I'd like to believe the A block is favored, but the problem for the rest of the guys in the A block is they've got to fight me.
That's a big problem for them. All right, we're going to go to the 814 area code. 814, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Lance Archer. Oh, that was loud.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good. First question for Lance is, I know the Americans have a lot of wrestling autobiographies. Do the Japanese wrestlers have a lot of autobiographies? Because I never hear anything about it.
I think there's a lot more publications in Japan that they would know about. Several other guys have started to branch out and started to do that. I know Tanahashi wrote one and published one not too long ago, which actually speared some controversy within New Japan and whatnot, because he had some pretty strong comments about Shibata, who, he started in professional wrestling. He started with New Japan through their dojo. Then he left to do MMA and then to come back into the system, whereas Tanahashi's been life and blood of New Japan for the last 10 years or so. They always say there's a pre and post Tanahashi era in New Japan. So somebody like Tanahashi, who's truly probably the biggest superstar in Japan, especially over the last 10 years or so, when he wrote that autobiography, it was something a lot of people were paying attention to. As far as some of the other guys, I'm not sure. They would all be in Japanese, so you'd have to be able to either read Japanese or have somebody translate it for you.
Right, but you've not been approached about doing a Japanese language version of your autobiography?
You're talking about for myself? Was that the question?
Yes, for you.
I apologize.
No, for you.
Oh,
I'm asking for you.
Ah, okay. No, no one's actually approached me on any kind of full biography, but I've definitely had several different magazine interviews, some really cool ones with some amazing pictures and things like that, that have kind of briefed over, my time in the business and things like that, with a little life history added into it. But no full autobiographies that have been written like in book form, no.
Well, that would be great, but I think my real what I would really want is for to hear you do the audiobook reading in Japanese. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I would try. I don't know if I could though.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Carry on, Ryan.
Okay. Second question is, I know Kenny and Meg had to do a match once with a little girl. What would you do if you were put in a situation where the Japanese submitters wanted you to wrestle a little girl?
I have no idea, man. I actually watched that match, or most of it, most recently, and I was beyond surprised. I'd always heard that it was good and that he'd done well with it. The closest thing that I've come to that in that situation was an impromptu match situation where I was working a wrestling show match for more or less a friend who was running like a birthday party scenario for friends and family and his younger brother who was graduating. And ultimately there was a little girl there and she kept talking a lot of trash and I called her out into the ring and ultimately we turned it into a match. She dropped a hold of me and jumped on me and hurt me, I don't know. what I saw with Kenny Omega was amazing, and to see the technical ability of that 8-year-old little girl was a trip. So if I actually got asked to do that, it's kind of like asking if I would wrestle a doll like Ibushi did. I don't know, that doll or that little girl might take a big beating because I'm a lot bigger than those guys.
All right. Well, Lance does not make snuff films, if that's what you're asking. next. He will not be beating up small children for money. At least not as far as I know.
It's illegal here. It's illegal here.
Yeah.
My final question is about the rings of Noah, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and WWE. Uh-huh. Can you compare stiffness, the hardness of the rings, which one's the hardest and which one's the softest out of those?
Yeah. Good question.
None of them are soft. I'll put it that way. The New Japan rings and the Noah rings. The Noah rings, actually, if I'm correct, is still the same ring that they brought over when they separated from All Japan, and Giant Baba was involved in the company, because actually the ropes are probably a good 2 inches taller than normal ropes. Everything was built for him because he was so tall and so big in comparison to pretty much every other Japanese wrestler that was around at that time. But they're extremely solid. They're extremely rigid. I actually love working in them. They're not to the point where you don't want to wrestle in them or do any of the moves or maneuvers in. I've been in some rings in the States that you don't want to step into. They're dangerous. They're not built right. They're way, way too solid in a sense that it's not beneficial for what we're trying to do and accomplish in a show sense. Ring of Honor, I think, has their own rings, but a lot of the Ring of Honor rings that I've been a part of, because they travel and the way they work is they work with a lot of the local companies, and they'll have them bring their rings in, and then they'll just retrofit them with the Ring of Honor banners and turnbuckles and things like that. So it depends on where you're at and what ring you're getting. But, they're real particular, and they don't allow anybody to bring any bad rings in. So I've never been in a bad ring as far as Ring of Honor is concerned. The only time I've really been in any bad rings was on the independent scene in the States. And I take that back. I was in France one time, and it was at a convention, and the convention would only allow one ring, so they put up just one shoot fighting boxing style ring that had no padding, no give, no nothing, and it was probably the worst ring I've ever had to work in.
Ouch. Okay. What about the TNA? What about the six-sided ring in TNA? How was that?
It was good. I mean, there's guys that don't like it. There were areas that you certainly didn't want to take any of the falls in because they were braced more stiffly in areas in comparison to others. I never had a problem with them, but then again, maybe it was just because I was bigger and didn't take as many falls as some of the other guys did. But I never personally had a problem with them. They always seemed very well built to me.
Okay. All right, Ryan.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Thanks, Lance.
No problem.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. So we've got callers on hold. We have to take a short commercial break so that for our army of sponsors. So we'll be back with you in a few minutes. Hold on there. There we go. Let's talk about PWTorchLivecast.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Cheap Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps, so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen, and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
All right. Also, point out that the PW Torch Livecast is brought to you by Audible, which is your leading provider for spoken audio, which basically it's your provider for audiobooks. And if you like audiobooks, and I know many of you do, you should go check out audible.com. It's owned by Amazon. So that part's really simple. If you have an Amazon account, I'm guessing you have an Audible account and you don't even know it. Over 180,000 audiobooks from all of the top authors in the world. Of course, the Mick Foley and Brian Danielson books and what have you, they're available on there too. It's very simple. You sign up at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Get your first book free, $14.95 a month to be a member, at least $14.95 a month. Pick out one book a month, any book you want, listen to whatever you want. Exchange any book you don't like, no questions asked. and cancel anytime. Also, while you're a member, you get 30% off each additional audiobook that you get during a month, or you can just go on the website and buy your audiobooks one at a time at regular price like a normal person would. It's very simple. It's audible.com, because you shouldn't have to learn the alphabet to be able to read. And, of course, we'll bring Lance back in here for this. The live cast is brought to you by the often imitated, never duplicated Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website. Go to pwtorch.com. That's where we keep the website. It's very helpful for you if you're following the pro wrestling news and other things going on in our business. Let's see here. Yeah, over 15 VIP. If you want to become a member, it's pwtorch.com/govip. Still $10 a month, $99 a year, unless they've changed that, and I'll go ahead and look at that while we do that. It's pwtorch.com/govip. You get at least 15 VIP exclusive audio shows per week, because there just aren't enough wrestling audio shows out there. That includes today's VIP after show, which James Caldwell and I tape tonight after we get done talking with Lance Hoyt. That includes the Wayback Playback that Jim Valley and I do every Sunday, where we basically take an hour of programming on the WWE Network and give it the Mystery Science Theater 3000 treatment. It's plus the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, plus the Wade Keller Daily Hotline. Get on the ad-free version of the pwtorch.com website, which, as Jim Ross said, is his favorite feature about being a pwtorch.com member. It's so nice. And the Torch newsletters are there. Torch newsletters for many, many, dating back many, 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 many years. And the new one will be up there when they get that. Also, I want to see if the poll is up. We do have a Wednesday poll that we take at pwtorch.com. I believe that for today we asked what you thought of the upcoming TNA World Title Tournament situation, where Matt Hardy has already vacated the title he won Sunday night, and we're going to have a 32-person tournament, which includes women. Yay. Go ahead and cast your vote. Does James have it up? Yeah, it does. What do you think of TNA's title tournament? Let's go ahead and check and see how the voting's gone. It's been up, what, all of 10 minutes? All right. Let's see. Yeah, have you heard about this tournament, Lance?
I heard about it, but I didn't know the details like you just mentioned, with 32 people, including the ladies.
Yeah, including, well, we're going to get, we're probably going to find out more tonight on the TNA program. Let's see what we have so far. We have several options up that you can choose. Basically, great idea, horrible idea, let it play out, or who cares, or other, which you can, of course, send us. Which, of course, we can send us via email, pwtorch@livecast.gmail.com. Right now, Who Cares leads with 44% of the vote. What a Horrible Idea is second with 31%, and Too Soon to Tell, 17%. But go ahead and vote for yourself. This poll will be up until the weekend over at pwtorch.com. And now that we've got a whole chunk of plugs out of the way, maybe we're going to get back to the calls. Actually, no, you know what? We have chat room questions. Lance, are you up for that?
Let's include the
chat rumors. Our man Chicky Singer wants to know if you prefer the Japanese hotels and restaurants or the American hotels and restaurants.
The hotel's American, absolutely, simply for the fact that I've posted pictures of me being able to touch wall to wall on a few of the small, tiny Japanese hotel rooms that I've been in. As far as restaurants are concerned, man, if it's good food, it's good food. And I've had a lot of amazing food in Japan. So, you know, being that I've spent most of my time in Japan in the last 4 years, you know, I'd have to lean that way as well. That way.
Right. So mostly it's the size of the beds that's the big problem over there.
The whole room. That's what I'm saying. I could put my head, I could touch wall to wall.
Oh, yikes. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's different. All right. Next question. Do you see Pro Wrestling Noah getting on American television? Well, we touched on that briefly. I don't think you'd mind that. You don't really know anything about it at this point.
No, I mean, I don't. Right now, no. Like I said, they're still working on getting a mainstream television program in Japan. So getting on in the States is a certain long shot.
Less of a priority. Understood. All right, let's go back to the telephones. We're going to go to the 718 area code. 718, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with the doctor. Hold on, there we go.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? This is Mike from Brooklyn. How you doing?
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, you know, pretty good, cool. Got a couple questions, of course. Okay. First question, you know, I love you and Davey Boy Smith Jr., the Killer Elite Squad. Y'all one of my favorite current teams right now. And
thank you, man.
You know,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you was always dynamite, even when you was Dallas with, you know, in TNA with Kid Cash. I always thought you was money.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
One of the questions I wanted to ask, if Global Force, you know, happens to get a television, a deal, a television deal, would y'all consider that making y'all like, you know, like home in America?
That's again, question. That's another one. That's one of those never say never questions. You know, right now I know Global Forces, I think they've struck up kind of a television deal, or they have in the UK. Breaking into the U.S. market is always a much harder and trickier deal these days, being that there's been so much wrestling out there and on TV. You know, if they got on a full-time television program in the States and when we were offered real contracts that, you know, gave us an opportunity to be on a full-time basis and make a living doing it, I don't think any of us are so greedy that we're like, well, we got to be rich at it. We just want to enjoy our lives, enjoy wrestling, and make enough money that we're not worried about our bills. I would say that would be an absolute opportunity that could come about in the future, but it would definitely depend on them getting a television program and signing guys up to full-time contracts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And my second two questions, I'm going to shoot them because I know there's other people online. My first question, what tag team would be the team that you would say you would want to face, old or new? You know, you and Davey Boy Jr., like what tag team? That's the first question. And what,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many. The Road Warriors, guys like that in the past. Obviously, the British Bulldogs, I think, would be a great one. Father against son and family and stuff of that nature. Most recently, yeah. I'd love to face, like, the Wolves in TNA. I'd love to face, even though I think they're very underrated and I think they can have an amazing presence in the WWE, would be the Ascension. I think our styles kind of fit and match. We faced Bullet Club many times in Japan. You know, those are really good tag teams. There's so many good tag teams out there right now. It's hard to just narrow it down. But those are a few of the names. I hope that helps.
Yeah. And what's the last final question? What's the one wrestler or few that you see now and you're like, man, that guy is money. Like a couple years from now, this guy could be at the top of the whole heap. And that's my final question. Thanks.
You mean a guy that isn't at the top of the heap now that could be?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I think obviously, and I have a personal relationship with him as kind of a friend is Finn Balor. I think what he's doing, and personally, I think he has the best entrance in all of professional wrestling right now. There's some purists and people who might think of the history of business, but I think if you put his entrance full on, full effect, and he did his full entrance, nobody's got as good of an entrance as he does right now. And I think just that. The persona, the personality that he's brought out in his time, just being there and learning that, and then also his pure wrestling ability, I think he's one of those guys that he's already at the top of the game with the NXT game, but once they give him that big-time push and if they don't downplay it or mess it up, if they keep him on that level all the way up and through, I think he's going to be the biggest star in the wrestling business in a really long time.
Okay, then. Thanks, Lance. Thanks a lot. Hope you continue.
No problem, man.
My man.
Thank you, man.
Okay, thank you for calling, Mike. Mike drops off, and believe me, that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's the other way you can reach us. Let's see. I have some more questions for Lance, but let's take one from the chat room from R. Damon, who wants to know, what match are you most looking forward to tonight on NXT TakeOver?
I don't know. I don't know exactly, other than Asuka fighting and then the girls' Iron Man match. I didn't know what other matches were on the show tonight. I'm sure they're doing some dusty tag team matches or something, which would be fun to watch.
Yeah, they're doing the semifinals and finals of the Dusty Tag Team Tournament. And obviously, Bayley and Sasha Banks is the main event. I am curious to see, one of the semifinals is going to be Finn Balor and Samoa Joe against the Mechanics.
Oh, wow.
Wilder and Dawson. I am curious to see this match. I think this is a pretty big opportunity for Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, because this is probably the biggest match that they've had in NXT so far, easily. So, want to see how well they step up. But yeah, it's it should be a lot of fun. But I think that mostly this one is set up for the next takeover, which they're going to be doing live in the UK, and I think that's going to be I think that one's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, and they're doing it in Orlando tonight, correct?
Yes, they're in Orlando tonight.
Yeah, well, they'll have a good crowd because that crowd's always very, very up for them and live for them. So it'll be fun for them, I believe.
Yeah, if you're listening to this now here at 5:30 Eastern, good seats are not available for that show. I'm pretty sure they've all been filled.
No, I would imagine it's completely full at this point.
Okay, yeah, we were talking briefly about NXT, and I watched that they had this. I wouldn't call it a documentary because it's a WWE thing, but they had the whole WWE 24 backstage at NXT hour. And what I got out of it from what the wrestler said and what Triple H said is, you know, if you're at that, if you're in NXT, if you're in, they assume that, you know, it's assumed that you have the technical wrestling ability to get the job done. They're trying to teach you a lot about, you know, knowing where the camera is, about hitting your mark, about, you know, making your time cue. That I think is what they think is missing from the people who come in there. How much did you actually spend any time in developmental before getting moved up to the main roster? And did you have to go through any of this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, FCW was definitely a very different thing back mm-hmm. in the day in comparison to what they have now, the facilities, the television exposure, the guys and girls that are working there. You know, they do still have their full developmental system that's going in and on and around at the time when the NXT product is out there. And there's a lot of guys and girls who work on their NXT live shows that are learning the business and learning how to wrestle and getting in front of crowds for the first time. And a lot of the guys that, like you mentioned, are truly established. You know, I had the prerequisite, I don't know how to say this, basically, you know, for my time on the independent scene, I worked with a company in Dallas called PCW that ran TV. So we worked hard cameras, right. We worked the floaters, we cut promos before and after and all that fun stuff. Then I worked at TNA, which again had hard cameras and all the stuff, and it was at a bigger level and step up. So coming into their developmental system, learning to work the cameras and stuff wasn't something that I necessarily had to learn and work on, but definitely learning the WWE mindset, the style, and what they were wanting was the learning curve. So when I went into their developmental system, because that was a question I've been asked many times, is why did you even go into the developmental system? You know, people who are being very complimentary saying, you know, you didn't have to do that, you didn't need to do that. And it's like, well, when you're going from pure independence or working in Japan where the television company isn't necessarily working directly with the wrestlers and the wrestling company, and then going directly into a company like WWE, which everybody is on board and everybody is working together and everybody's part of the same company and family, you're learning how to do all those things as you're working together. And then for me, it was more of a learning curve of learning how WWE wants their superstars to portray themselves in front of that crowd. And like I said, NXT is a very different element than it was as FCW. But I think that's the big learning curve for a lot of the guys who are the established stars, like the Finn Balors and the Apollo Crews and the Samoa Joes and guys like that who are wrestling wise can step in the ring and can deliver the best performance that this business has ever seen. But, you know, WWE mm-hmm. is very particular on how they want their guys to be, how they want them to act, how they want them to approach the ring, how they want them, you know, in those senses. And that's what developmental, that's what NXT does for those guys. And that's what FCW did for me.
Okay. We have a follow-up question from the, actually a follow-up question via email that I want to get to. Hold on here. It's
mm-hmm.
Email question from Brian from Des Moines, who says, I read a few, and this, I think this might be more for me than for you. I read a few months back, Samoa Joe has signed a main roster contract. He has yet to appear on the main roster. Is he earning main roster money to wrestle in NXT? Are there any plans to elevate him like Kevin Owens? I don't know what their plans are for Samoa Joe. I would imagine at some point they would want to put him on the main roster. I know that he worked one match at a TV taping, and that was the match where Tyson Kidd got injured. I think the reason for signing him to a main roster contract is because they thought that they would, for whatever reason, they thought that they would be shorthanded and they would need somebody experienced in a hurry. I think that from what I understand, the plans are for him to be headlining for NXT through the end of the year. So, yeah, make of that what you will. But, he did sign a main roster contract, and I imagine if you sign a main roster contract, you're earning at least the main roster downside. I haven't actually talked to Samoa Joe and asked him what's in the contract, and if I did, I'm pretty sure, I doubt he would tell me all the details. So, yeah, people are funny that way. Okay, there's a question from the chat room, and I think this is going to require a little setup. As you might have heard earlier this week, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, which is one of the big indie promotions in New Jersey, somebody stole their TV title belt from the locker room. So the question from the chat room is, has anyone tried to steal any of your title belts while you traveled through airports?
Luckily, no. I mean, unfortunately, I've heard of this scenario several times in different places and different people.
Really?
I mean, to the point, I've I'm trying to get my words correct.
Guys in San Antonio
had the title belts in a car, and the car was broken into and taken out. Wildcat Pro Wrestling in Louisiana, I know their title got stolen from them not too long ago, and I think it was out of a car as well. So it's sad, but I've heard of this scenario before, and I've worked for PWS before too. So do you know where it was stolen? Was it stolen out of a vehicle, or was it stolen straight out of the locker room?
What they're assuming is it was stolen from backstage at one of their shows.
Wow. But they don't know. That's even more sad because, you know, it's pretty much all guys and girls that are working with the company at the time. You know, it's not always fully controlled and watched and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's just the guys and girls that are working on the show. So if it was taken, most likely it was taken by somebody they know.
Yeah. I mean, from my time on the indies, I remember in West Virginia where actually Luke Gallows had a belt stolen from him, and then a couple shows later he goes to the locker room and that same belt is there with the guy, and obviously the guy who stole it was hanging around with it. That did not end well.
What?
For that other guy, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Oh wow. I was going to make a joke and say Gallus probably took it and sold it himself because he's good like that. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah,
he's the consummate salesman, man. He can sell anything. It's awesome. I'm just making a joke about him. He's a good friend of mine.
He's okay. Understood. All right. Let's see.
6467.
Except when we're in the ring. Okay. 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. I know you were doing some work indie-wise in Texas, and you mm-hmm. were helping promote something. How is that coming along, or was that just for that one specific charity event?
Oh, you're talking about my things that I did. Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
I only did a few shows. I did the one charity event for a friend of mine, like I said, who had been diagnosed with cancer, who's still doing well today and is still alive today, which is amazing. And then I ran another show in the same building. It wasn't a charity show, but it was just a regular show, and it did well. Luckily, I've been so busy with Japan and going back and forth that I haven't had any time to actually organize and set up one, because I personally, like when I did those, I had the time and I did them the right way and I booked the right talent. And right now, the way things have been, and I've been so busy, thankfully, I wouldn't have that time to do anything like that.
People don't always appreciate that. That is a very, that's a very time consuming process. And a lot of indie promoters are doing that in addition to whatever job they're doing to actually make money. So all right, that's pretty tough. Oh, so you're going to be in – okay, so now I want to make sure I've got this right. You're going to be in Dyersburg, Tennessee this Saturday, defending the NWA tag titles?
Yep. Yeah. Smith and I will be there in a triple tag match, and then we both head back to Japan next Wednesday for the NOAH Global League, which is October 16th through November 8th. And then, like you'd mentioned, I will be with the House of Hardcore in Philadelphia and Brooklyn on the 13th and 14th. Mm-hmm. And then if nothing else comes up, I'm not sure, but, I work with some different companies around Texas. There's, Metroplex Wrestling MPX in Bedford, Texas. There's Branded Outlaw Wrestling that runs in, San Antonio and Austin. Inspire Pro Wrestling that runs in Austin. These are all some really good independent companies in Texas. If anybody's in and around those areas, I'd definitely say go check them out.
Okay, we got about 15 minutes left in the program. I have to do another commercial and some more plugs, but I'll unplug. Coming up immediately following this show on most of these Blog Talk radio stations is going to be the East Coast Cast. Travis Bryant, Bardray Purnell, go to eastcoastcast.com and listen live. Parental discretion is advised. All right, we'll be right back. Go ahead and call in, and we'll get to the last segment of the show after this.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called PWPodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Pete, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
And we're back with on the live cast with Lance Archer, the one half of the Pro Wrestling NOAH Global Tag Team Champions. Want to remind everybody that next week on this very program, we're going to have our guest will be Justin Credible. Justin will be having his second retirement match next month, so we'll be sure to ask him a lot about that and about winding down what's been a pretty long career, actually, when you think about it. Yeah, Lance, do you ever give thought to how much longer you're going to be in the wrestling business, or do you plan to just be in there until you get carted away?
I hope that I'm not in until when I'm carted away. Lord's blessed me with some amazing health. I've stayed healthy my entire life, entire career to this point. And as long as I stay healthy, I'd like to stay in it in some fashion or form. I'm always striving to get better, be better, and achieve bigger things. I think there are still some things that I could achieve in the business if allowed to get to those points. And I'm going to keep pushing for those. But, you know, if I feel like the time has kind of passed and there's nothing else that I'm going to be able or allowed to achieve, you know, I'll definitely look to kind of step aside from a full-time in-ring participant, that's for sure, because I don't want to be one of those guys, unfortunately, that just won't let go. I'd like to be one of those guys that's beneficial to the business, whether that's backstage, whether that's training with guys, whatever the case may be, if I'm a part of wrestling, or find something else in life that I can enjoy and be a part of and then still be remembered. You know, I'd like to believe that Japan has given a new respect to my career, to the fans, the ones who know about what I've been doing, and I'd like to leave it that way. I'd hate to be that guy that everybody kind of goes, stop doing it.
Yeah, you don't want to be on Heroes when they have the revival of Heroes of Wrestling. You don't want to be part of that.
Yeah. Fun times.
Yes. All right. We have an email question. I guess we're both involved in that. This is from Mark, who wants to know, can you talk about the absence of Vince McMahon as a character on WWE television? His characters were huge before he took himself off TV. I thought they were a significant part of the shows. Do you feel that's one of the elements the current product is missing? I suppose I could tackle that. I think that if you're going to have the evil heel, you know, authority figure characters, you know, Vince obviously does a tremendous job at that, having had all the practice that he's had. I don't think that having the evil guy running the wrestling promotion is such a great storyline in 2015 after we've had, you know, 15 years or so of evil guys running the wrestling promotion, and, you know, the evil guys are running the wrestling promotion, the evil people are running the wrestling promotion in real life, you know, so you know that you're not going to get rid of them. It just sort of, I don't know, kind of ruins it for me. But Lance, you might have an opinion on that.
I think it's one of those things where I would like the wrestling fans to really start being more positive for the wrestling business. You know, I keep reading how ratings are declining, and it's not just for WWE. It's for all the companies that have television product. And then the same wrestling fans are the ones who are not happy with the product that's being put out there for them. But unfortunately, if the products go away, it's like the people who are – you're talking about the TNA and the poll that you had and the ones that are saying they just don't care and things like that. And to me, that's a very negative approach. I think if you care and find someone somewhere, whether it's EC3 or Matt Hardy or Drew Galloway – or anybody that's on the TNA roster, if you like them, go and support that. Don't go, I don't care and I don't like it. Their wrestling is actually really good right now. I think they've put themselves in a hole they're really drastically trying to dig themselves out of. But there are good things that the fans can support. And to say, is that what the wrestling business is missing as far as Vince McMahon and his full-on character? Maybe that time has passed. Maybe it's time to really focus on what's now and what is into the future. And I think together, if the wrestling fans can find the positive and focus on that and not look to the past and go, oh, I remember the good old days. Yeah, remember them, enjoy them. But look for something now and into the future so that we can all together help the business grow. Because otherwise it's going to die.
I understand what you're saying, but as somebody who gets to write about it and podcast about it and tweet about it and criticize it, I think it's possible to say, yes, I love what Ethan Carter III and Drew Galloway and Matt Hardy and the Wolves are doing in TNA, yet I think this is a dumb storyline. And, you know,
right.
I don't think the problem with wrestling right now is the actual work being done by wrestlers in the ring. I think that you have different situations. You have WWE where it's 3 hours every week and it's kind of, and you know, I can't imagine having to write something to fill 3 hours every week. So you have that with TNA, you have the problem of you're on a channel that a lot of people don't get. In Destination America, and that hurts. And Ring of Honor, I mean, it's a combination of Destination America and finding it on your local station, and you know, maybe you don't always get to see every show. I think that wrestling is better when the wrestling focuses on, you know, wrestlers feuding with other wrestlers and fighting over championships and fighting over personal issues. But you know, instead of some of this other stuff. I totally agree.
I just think it was one of those situations where guys and girls fans tend to go, well, that guy made it that much better. And it's like, if you think it was one person, find that one person that can lead you into the future. Yeah, I agree on the storyline, because there's been good and bad storylines throughout the history of wrestling.
Right. I mean, and you know, you can say that to some effect. I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to find The Rock out there, you know, somebody who can work like The Rock every year, or somebody who's like Stone Cold Steve Austin. But you know, it's sort of incumbent on wrestling promoters to treat the guys who are on top as if they were The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, as that level of stars, instead of going, gee, you know. Yeah, I mean, because I, you know, if you take WWE for example, I don't feel like Seth Rollins is being. I feel like they're doing things with Seth Rollins, which they wouldn't be doing if it was somebody else like Triple H or The Rock, or Steve Austin as champion.
Right.
Well, anyway, enough of that. I know you worked in TNA for a long time, and you have friends there. And I mean, you must have encountered situations where you're involved in a storyline that's kind of and it's frustrating. But you have to do it.
I was handed a plastic guitar and told, hey, you think you're a rock star because you play a video game. And, you know, we tried to make the best of it and have some fun with it. And people still have fond memories of it. And I think that was because we had fun with it, regardless of the situation. And sometimes that's the case. I mean, I think you can look at, like, say, the New Day. I think the New Day is a great example of a team that the concept of them being what they were supposed to be just did not and was not going to work. It's three guys. And I think finally they just decided to have some fun with it. And it's ultimately kind of turned around to a point where they end Raw the other night. They're the main group ending Raw at the end of the night. They go from a group that was basically forgettable and people went, oh, I can't wait till this is over, to holy crap, they're the best thing on the show. We want to see more of them. And they're ending the Raw as the big group attacking and killing everybody. You know, that's where it goes. You know, take a bad storyline, turn it into something good. Can you do that every time? Not every time. And I completely agree with you. The company has to get behind certain people and certain aspects and certain storylines and push it to the moon. Otherwise, it's seen as half-assed, and therefore it's taken as half-assed.
Okay. Let's see. One other thing I want to talk with you about is You might have heard about Triple H over the past couple of days, and he's been interviewed. They're obviously working. They obviously have some sort of arrangement where they're looking at talent from Evolve and WWN. They're talking with New Japan about maybe doing a talent exchange. It just seems like we're reaching a situation where one company and maybe maybe it's WWE combined with New Japan is going to take up even more of the wrestling market than they already do. What do you think it's going to take for another product to break out in this environment?
There's so many factors, man. New Japan, I think, is on an extremely good pace with what they've done in Japan and what they're starting to do worldwide. They've done a lot of things, and a lot of that comes back to money, and they have the money. The company that owns New Japan, Bushiro, has the money. I think they're doing the right thing to take those baby steps and reach out and broaden their horizon in their marketing. I think New Japan is definitely a company that could do that in the future. Now, whether that means they're working with Ring of Honor or NXT and so on and so forth, obviously New Japan wants to be that next big market. And like I said, they're just doing what they can and the avenues they can. That is the smartest way to do it, too, to get into that U.S. market. But it takes the fans. I go back to the fans. I'm not harping on the fans, but it takes them accepting everything and finding something good in whatever they watch, whether it's Ring of Honor, TNA, any of the independents that put on local products, to WWE, to New Japan, to NOAH, to whatever they're choosing to watch, finding the good in it and pushing that themselves rather than watching a show. And it just, to me, it seems like many times that the fans are on a constant berate of negativity. And to me, when you do that, all you're doing is bringing the product down. Because if somebody's not watching and all they see are your tweets or your messages or whatever as a fan as being negative, then their mindset is going to be, this is not good. I don't want to watch this. But if there's more positivity coming from the fans about the products and less negativity, I think more people might tune in just for the simple fact to say, well, man, they were saying this is really good. Maybe I should check it out. And so I put on the fans. We need them to be as supportive and positive as they can about the business in every aspect.
Okay, well, what I understand that what I think the solution is, let's say you're watching WWE and you don't like it. Okay, that's fine. Find another wrestling product that you like and watch that and enjoy it.
Right.
And spend your money and time on that. And that's, I think that's ultimately what the solution has to be. Because, you don't get the whole Attitude Era without people turning off WWF and WCW back in the 90s and getting into ECW and Smoky Mountain Wrestling just because it was giving them something that you weren't getting otherwise.
Right, correct. Yeah. Instead of being negative about it, just go find something else you like. If you're not happy, with their product, don't give them your money. Give somebody else the money.
Exactly. Okay. And normally this is where I do a plug for PW Torch VIP membership. I don't think that's necessary. PWTorch.com/goVIP. Okay, so Lance, we're coming down to our last couple of minutes here.
Okay,
just let's go through this Saturday you're in Dyersburg, Tennessee with the Killer Elite Squad defending the NWA Tag Team titles, which you guys have held for a long time. How can people keep tabs on what you're doing via social media and the internet?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Twitter is one of the best ones. I post every show all the time, like leading up to the show this week for Mid-South in Dyersburg. Every day I've plugged it. Atlantoid is my Twitter handle. My Facebook is a public page. I post all my wrestling stuff on there as well. My Instagram, LHoyt77, I post a lot of pictures and stuff about what I'm doing and whatnot. And all of this is public. None of it's private. It's all kept open for the fans so they can follow and find me and all those things. I have a Vine account, but I hardly ever use it because I don't think I'm that interesting when I post 30-second Vine videos. But I'll figure that out.
Okay. Understandable. And we're going to be following you in Pro Wrestling NOAH. Do you have a date when you're coming back to Ring of Honor, or is that still up in the air?
That's still up in the air, but we've definitely had conversations.
Okay, and hopefully we'll see you back on another Dome show for New Japan on New Japan World. And if you find and if Lance Hoyt is on an indie show near you, whether it's in Tennessee or Texas or in Philadelphia at or New York City at House of Hardcore, yep. You can go check that out. Lance, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your time back in Texas to be with us this week.
Man, I truly appreciate you having me on again.
Oh, it's no problem. It's our pleasure. And listeners, I want to thank all of you. Tomorrow, of course, Wade Keller will be back doing interviews, and we'll be back with you in 7 days, same Pat time, same Pat channel. For everybody here at PW.com,
folks, another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it. You can suck it. Suck it.
Suck it.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.